BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
This is a big British castle podcast with some talking from the Adam and Joe show radiogram. You can listen to it while you're on your way to work, and when you get there, you can listen on the loo. How do you do?
I'm trying to think of a new way of saying hello, Joe.
Right. What, a new way to pronounce the word hello, or, no, just, or a whole just, new greeting?
Yeah, like a whole new greeting. I was thinking of Hadouken!
Hadouken, is that actual Japanese, though?
I think it's Japanese, but it's a what, band
it's
a as
restaurant.
Well, and
oh,
it's
and
like...
Oh, it's a type of martial art,
I went
maybe.
Into a record shop this week, and there was Hadouken at number 3 in the record charts or something. I'd never heard of them before. I'm so old.
As we're ranting on no particular subject, I saw a programme about the White Cliffs of Dover, and they investigated a tunnel in it. And the person who dug the tunnel had engraved his name and the date where he dug the tunnel on the side. Hmm. And the presenter looked at this engraving and said, "How much better than a brass plaque is that?" That was obviously a rhetorical question.
Did they do anything about Wycliffe Jean?
No, it would have been fine in the context of talking about a new Wycliffe Jean record. How much better than the last Wycliffe Jean single was that? But not when talking about an engraved tunnel in the White Cliffs of Dover on a historical programme.
So it's all just White Cliffs of Dover, not Wycliffe Jean.
No, yeah, thanks.
Thought I'd try and chisel that one in there.
Just got that out. Just getting that out of my system.
Nice. In there, just in case anyone had missed it. Anyway, so hi, yes, I'm Adam Buxton.
Hey, I'm Joe Cornish. Welcome to the edited highlights of this week's Adam and Joe radio show on BBC Six Music every Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and noon.
And it features this week what we think is probably the worst Song Wars ever. And this must be Song Wars... must be about around the 20 mark or something.
Really? 40 songs cumulatively.
Yeah, and it's very bad.
The bottom of the barrel is being scraped. We've run out of GarageBand loops. We've run out of ideas. We've run out of styles. We need the listeners to help us with some suggestions. We need a strong hand to guide us.
Well, we've got a couple of weeks off, so maybe our creative batteries might be recharged.
Yeah. So don't get your hopes up for this week's Song Wars. It's a real sh**. Can I call it a sh**?
You can bleep that.
I was bleeped.
It's 100% this week. Actually, having said that, I really enjoyed yours, Adam. At least you make an attempt to be funny.
Thanks, man.
I was just mawkish and tedious. I hate myself. I'm going to cut that bit of my brain out with a hot spoon.
Oh, don't do that. I'll have it. Right, now let's get on with the podcast, shall we?
Hurry up.
Watch out. It's Adam and Joe coming from space to your brain. They got a little pack of highlights from the Six Music Show for you to hear again.
They got rid of all of the music, and the bits were incredibly crappy. So now there ain't a whole lot left, but hopefully enough to keep you happy. Here we go.
That's like a sort of electronic forest.
That's like the music they play on airplanes if you are...
That's true, if you're about to panic.
If you're about to panic, you know, and also if you're a smoker and you're getting stressed out by there, you know...
Do you think it's got subliminal messages in it? Do you think Paul McKenna whispered something during the session?
Probably.
Paul McKenna.
He's a hair magician.
I don't even know who he is. Paul McKenna. Paul McKenna. I'm so confused. Paul McKenna is behind most ambient house music.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's right. And Darren Brown. If he teamed up with Darren Brown.
Imagine. You know, the government should insist that Brown and McKenna team up and fix the nation's problems.
It would be like Justice, the French group.
It would be like the Avengers, the Marvel superhero team.
Right.
If there were fewer people.
Well,
in
a combination between the band Justice and the Avengers, the Marvel superhero team. But guaranteed to... I mean, that's a whole area that Darren Brown could investigate.
You have though. Paul McKenna. He's got healing powers, right? He's got healing powers.
Who says?
Everyone
says.
Is that
what he does? He's a hypnotist.
The back of his book says, yeah, he can heal you of fear and pain and addiction. He's got healing powers. Darren Brown has mind control powers.
I was just going to say, because Paul McKenna, he's not going to do anything for you if you've got a broken leg.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. I think they should have Dr. Tanya Byron on the team as well.
Who's Dr. Tanya Byron?
Who's Dr. Tanya Byron? She's a TV psychologist. She wrote the government's report on video games, I think. Uh-huh. And she does TV shows about sexual problems.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
She the blonde American lady?
No, she's got brown hair.
Oh.
She's sexy but stern and knowledgeable.
Oof, that's the ultimate sexy.
She should be on the team as well.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of British, a new team of British superheroes.
This is amazing.
But like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, that Alan Moore comic.
But they're mainly
for the noughties.
Right, but they're just making ambient house tracks.
Well, they're releasing some ambient house tracks. The government issue them for free to everyone in the country to listen to.
Okay.
And they've got some subliminal messages, but then if there's major problems, they can be flown in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, this is exciting.
It is exciting. We need some more members for the team, though. Other people in Britain with magic powers.
Mind powers.
Maybe. Or any sort of power. Jeff Capes.
You know who could... What?
He's a strong man. He could take care of the physical end
Jeff
of things.
Jeff Capes even with us still? I mean, they could be managed by Paul Daniels.
They'd be managed by Simon Cowell. Why would they be managed by Paul Daniels?
He's got magic powers.
He'd be on the team.
And he's got Debbie McGee.
But Simon Cowell would be back at headquarters.
He's in no way magic.
He is.
What's magic about him?
He's Mr. Magic, showbiz magic.
That's a different kind
he
of magic.
He controls fame.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
The subject of Text the Nation this week is sort of juvenilia, right? Can you think of a better term? Like stuff you authored when you were a kiddie.
Juvenile fiction.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was quite a precocious child.
Brat.
Didn't know my limits.
Yeah.
Reckoned myself as a bit of an auteur. Mm. And I think maybe a lot of other listeners out there were the same. So I'm talking, listeners, about things you self-published or authored when you were a child. For instance, I was very keen on comics. I decided to launch my own comic in my household,
right,
which consisted of my mum and dad and my brother.
Yeah.
Thought that was a perfect readership, that I'd issue a comic every week. It was called Foxy. I didn't know the connotations of that word. It was it was just had a kind of a fox, a gentleman fox.
It's got an X in it, so it's always good, you know, when you're that age, anything with an X in.
And I think it was about, it was maybe two or three A4 pages folded in half and stapled down the middle. And I drew every copy by hand.
So it was actually about a fox man.
Yeah, that was the lead character.
Right.
Foxy. And I think it had letters and puzzles and stuff. The letters might have been quite pointed complaints about my brother messing up my room and stuff. But I think it lasted for 2 weeks, Foxy, and it circulated in the Cornish household. Then when I got a bit older, I got a bit obsessed with Tintin and stuff like that, so I invented a character called Foggo.
Foggo?
And he was like a boy detective, and he went round the world, and he had a series of novels.
Where'd you get the name Foggo, like Phileas Fogg?
I don't know. Foggo, he was called.
Phineas, rather, yeah.
And the Foggo novels were a smash hit with my mum. She was very keen on them. I used to laminate them using sellotape, you know, because I couldn't afford actual see-through sticky-back plastic. So I'd just wrap sellotape around them very carefully.
Have you still got Foggo? Because now, of course, the top layer would have peeled off and there's just yellow crust under
there. Yeah, that happens.
Right.
But I think my mum still has Foggo's Adventures.
Imagine how much your first edition of Foggo would
imagine.
Be. Or Foxy.
Well, they're very limited. I think Foxy's lost. There may be one copy of Foxy
in
the
Forbidden
British
Planet.
Museum.
Do you reckon?
In the British Museum.
In the British Museum,
yes.
Not Forbidden Planet.
No.
No.
No. And then after that, when I got a bit older, maybe 11, I tried to write a Frederick Forsyth-style thriller.
Was it sexy at all?
It may have had an erotic scene. In fact, that may have been where it ended, because I couldn't get beyond
it.
It was called The Jigsaw Man.
Ooh, hey, that's a real film, though, isn't
Very
it?
Very possibly. I thought that was a brilliant idea. The opening scene was on an oil rig, and a man is murdered on the oil rig, and all he's murdered for is an envelope containing a piece of a jigsaw. Isn't that brilliant?
That is brilliant.
Is it brilliant?
Yeah.
I thought it was at the time.
That's good. How old were you?
Maybe 11 or 12.
No.
So we'd like you to send in... Whatever happened to that promise, eh?
Yeah.
We'd like you to send in things that you authored as a child. So describe us, if it was a series of something or a character you made up or a play that you wrote, or maybe you tried to write a film script, or you tried to write music, or something you authored when you were very young that you can still remember.
And if you can quote any of it, of course, so much the better. Hey, how about this? Can we expand it to poetry as well?
Poetry, what you wrote when you were sort of under 13,
yeah.
12 or 13.
I mean,
I suppose so.
You know, in case, I personally did not write poems when I was that age, but in case we have any super precocious...
You must have tried to write some artistic. Kind of a book, didn't you?
The only thing, I wrote something called The Bog Roll Chronicles.
There you go.
When I was at school, I got a big roll of pink toilet paper. The idea was to write a story that lasted the entire length of the lavatory roll without breaking any of the segments off, you see. And
how did it go?
I wrote it in biro. I finished it. It was amazing. It was an amazing kind of performance piece more than a story, I think. The story was rubbish.
Can't remember what it was called.
It was it's just called The Bog Roll Chronicles. Oh, right. And it was about me and my friends at school. And it was about what we were going to be doing 5 years in the future, because I was obsessed with the song 5 Years by David Bowie. Mm. So it was all about us meeting up in 5 years' time in Leicester Square and finding out what had happened to us. And we were all famous. We were film stars. Alison's become a film star. She's beautiful. She still loves me.
It sounds good. Have you still got it?
Somewhere I do, yeah.
Or did you run out of lavy paper one day?
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
We've already established, listeners, if you've just tuned in, that neither of us are proud of our efforts this week. We chose a stupid subject.
Well, it was a good subject. It was a good suggestion.
I don't think it was.
What was the name of the listener who suggested it again? Was it Sonia from
Australia? Maybe. Let's just say Sonia from Australia.
Listen, and Sonia, if we got your name wrong, I'm sorry. But we're calling you Sonia for the purposes of today's birthday theme song.
Where have you even got that from? Sonia from Australia.
I know there was an S in there.
You're going to be fired for that. Because it wasn't Sonia, and you're lying, and she's not in Australia, and the BBC don't tolerate that kind of thing. Get out.
Sandra, Sonia. Anyway, she asked us to she said it was her birthday soon, and was there any chance that we could do a new birthday song in her honour? And we did that. Unfortunately, we got a name wrong and everything.
I'm getting this out of the way. I'm flicking the coin.
Joe's got the coin
heads
out.
Heads or tails?
This is for who goes first.
Yeah.
Okay, tails.
Tails. I'm fighting not to go first. It's heads.
It's heads.
So
you
does
are
that mean
going.
I get to choose? All right, I'm going to get my first. So mine is the idea with my song. So the challenge, listeners, was to write a new happy birthday song, because every time people sing happy birthday, this may or may not be true, but it's a sort of urban myth. Is that good enough? That you have to pay for it. Certainly, if you use it in a film, you used to have to pay
for
it.
Well, it definitely was true.
It's a license to print money. If you can get on the birthday song
right.
cash bandwagon, then you're rich. So we're trying to do that. My idea was to write a reply song.
Mm.
So you sing happy birthday at a birthday party, mm-hmm. and then the person who you've sung happy birthday to has to sing this back.
Right.
It's a reply song.
Got you.
So I'm going to play it now.
Okay, here we go.
So imagine happy birthday. You just finished singing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Then the person you've sung it to sings this.
Thanks for singing happy birthday to me. It was slightly out of tune, but it was still lovely. The cake looks delicious and it's great you all came. I'll be careful not to set my hair alight on the flames. Thanks a lot for all the presents I got. Every single thing's a thing I wanted a lot. And I forgive you even though you went and forgot the batteries to operate the giant robot. My favourite people are all here in this room. My heart is like a giant love-filled balloon. But don't forget that it's my special day. That means you have to do exactly what I say. And I demand that everybody has fun, cause it's the day to take my agent out on a one. If we're over 18 we can get very drunk. If we're kids we'll pass the parcel, then we'll apple dunk. And maybe later I can go off and cry, get depressed about the speed the year has gone by. Now that I'm older I can totally change, be sexy and cool instead of slightly strange. So thanks for singing happy birthday to me. I'm nearly 40 now, I feel like I'm 3. And thanks for singing happy birthday to me. Thanks a lot, no, genuinely.
Just insipid, just horrible, horrible.
I like the fact that your mid-Atlantic accent...
It.
Because you slightly
Does
slide
it come
into
in and out.
It kind of comes in and out, and so at one point you talk about pass the passel.
Pass the passel. It's terrible.
Pass the passel.
I don't really want to play it ever again.
Well, that's what I was thinking with mine. I was thinking, oh, no.
Now you're feeling a bit better.
We usually play them twice. This is going to drive everybody mental. No, what happened with mine was, A, I made a number of incredibly bad decisions. I sort of started off seeing to myself, thinking that I was going to do a kind of country follow-up
right.
to my Christmas time one. Country, oh, God. Christmas country party time.
That's good. I like that one.
And sing like a kind of a country man from America. But it sort of went wrong, so I ended up just singing in a high voice, but with a bizarre American accent, kind of justifying it to myself that, well, in the olden days, everyone used to do American accents, even if they were British. Now, of course, that's incredibly... no one would even think about doing that. Everyone sings in their own accent, but I don't. I sing in American, in a kind of mangled American accent. Also, I've left a little gap for the person's name here
nice.
As well. So, Jude, if you leave the mic up, my mic up, then I'll put in Sonia's name, even though it might not be Sonia,
even though she doesn't exist.
So, I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said about my dreadful birthday song. Here it is.
Birthday time! It's birthday time! It's time for your birthday today. Oh yes, it's birthday. Time, happy birthday time. To fail to celebrate would be a horrible crime. Your name is
Sonia.
I brought you a gift to celebrate the fact you're still alive.
Hooray!
You came out of a woman or possibly a tube, and ever since that day you have survived.
Well done.
And now it's birthday time, happy present time. We got some cake and wine and cake and food. It's birthday. That wonderful time, you should eat the cake, if not it's rude. Today's the day, you will be happy all day, because we come to celebrate the day with you. We're singing to you, and we're looking at you, and now you should be smiling, it's a happy day. It's a birthday time, that joyful date, the same date that you busted out the womb. Many years have passed since that painful day. Who can tell how many more you'll make it through? Birthday time, birthday cards. I bought a card and wrote your name within. I gave you the card and now it's yours. And later you will put it in the bin. Birthday time, birthday time.
Oh dear. Busted out of the womb.
Yeah.
Since that painful day. You know what? I declare that song the winner. I think we should intervene and like negate the necessity for voting.
Well, listen, we got a message. It was not Sonia, of course. I don't know where I got Sonia in Australia from.
Sonia Nipples. The director of Working Girl.
Mike's daughter. It was Claire in Guildford who suggested...
Same thing. Guildford, thing. Australia.
It's Claire, my 19th. Sonia. She says, it's my 19th birthday next week. And this was the message we got last week. On my 19th birthday, so it'll be sometime this week. And like many people, I sometimes get tired of the plain old happy birthday song. Therefore, it would make my day if you came up with a new birthday song for Song Wars. Happy now? Are you happy now, Claire? We did.
I liked yours. I thought yours was good. At least yours was funny.
Well, I was trying to sing a bit like Brian Wilson. I had Brian Wilson in my head. You know, like late period Brian Wilson. When he's kind
it
of mad
for me.
And he's just singing out of one side of his mouth because he's deaf in one ear.
I like it. I vote we never play my song ever again.
Your song was all right.
No, it wasn't.
Pass
it
the
was
tassel.
Awful. It was awful.
All right, here's another podcasting. Breaking up the chat with some music. Yeah, we got this thing off GarageBand. But it's free, you know, anyone can use it.
Text the Nation this week, listeners. We're asking you about juvenilia, great works of literature or playwriting or screenwriting or drawing or anything really that you did when you were, you know, very young. Here's one from Steve Curran. He says, when I was about 5 or 6, I attempted to produce a series of Action Force inspired comic books. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably a sort of boys' war comic book.
It's a whole alien world to me.
His Action Force inspired comic book was called, open quotes, capital letters, Steven! Exclamation mark, close quotes. Brackets, naturally, I was the hero. That's a good idea for a book. I have a vivid memory of being halfway through drawing the title page for one edition when I was called into the next room to have my dinner. No doubt with the word, Stephen! Which is less action-packed. When I returned, I discovered that my older brother had made his own contribution to the page, completing the half-written title, STEP, with In Poo. Step in poo. Very clever, but I still haven't quite forgiven him. Yours, Steve Curran.
That would have been good.
Highbury.
And the Stephen had an exclamation mark, right, at the end?
Yeah, that series of films would rival the Bond films.
And the Bourne films as well.
And the Bourne films.
Matt Damon is Stephen.
Stephen!
And you could have like a lightning strike for the S.
When people
Stephen.
Got in trouble, they would shout, Stephen! Yes! That would be one of the scenes.
Stephen! Yes!
I'm in trouble!
Okay.
Hang on.
Just coming.
I'm coming! Exclamation mark.
You can get Morrissey to be in it as well.
Why?
Because he's called Stephen.
Really?
Yeah, he would relate to that easily.
Wow.
That's a very good idea.
I think you should keep the film rights available for that, Steve.
Stephen! Yes!
Here's one from David Millen. He says, when I was about 10, I wrote a screenplay heavily influenced by the Die Hard films. It had way too much swearing in it, dragged on for about 6 pages, during which the narrative completely crumbled. It included the lines, quote, holy crap, I've been shot, and, quote, call for backup now. Those are good lines.
You're fine with those lines. What are you talking about?
Then, trying to get it published, I sent it off to one of those newspaper advertisements which said writers get paid per word in a vain attempt to earn some money. They sent it back.
Did they?
How stupid of them. What? Hey, it couldn't have been worse than Die Hard 4.
It couldn't have been Surely. Worse than a lot of stuff in cinema.
Stephen!
Yep! Just coming!
Yeah, what? Yeah, what? You might remember, if you've been listening for a little while to this morning's show, before that song, there were some other noises you heard that we'd made for Song Wars. They were very poor, and we've had various text messages in. Michael from Malden says, thanks, I just wet myself.
Is that a good way?
Will, I don't know. Will and Kate, it depends where the fluid came from. Will and Kate in Eastbourne said, you should both be ashamed of yourself. Someone liked your song a lot. They remain anonymous. Nil points, says Michael again. So do vote for your favourite of those two, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. We will be away next week. Someone will be filling in for us. So the winner will be announced online. And we will renounce it. Yeah, renounce the whole flipping thing when we get back.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to 3.
Are you ready for some more, Adam Buxton?
Stephen!
That's the new action film franchise. It's big. It's going to blow all the others out of the water. It's very exciting. His friends call him Steve.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so don't expect him to be called Stephen all the way through the film.
Well, that ruins it, doesn't it?
My name's Stephen, but you can call me Steve.
Ooh. Well, no, that's just maybe for the sex scenes.
Right. But there are a lot of... I've noticed there are a lot of sex scenes in Stephen. There's an unusual amount.
It's absolutely filthy.
He spends more time having sex and solving problems.
Stephen.
It's one of the interesting things about it as a franchise.
Oh, Stephen.
Oh, Stephen.
Stephen.
Stephen! Oh, dear. Here's one from Lucy in Leamington Spa. Hi, Adam and Joe. When I was 8, I entered a poetry competition with a poem entitled When the Black Seagull. Mm-hmm. This was about birds dying in oil spills. It goes something like this. When the black seagull cries, so will I. When the black seagull dies, so will I, so will I.
Oh, I was waiting for that. The repetition.
From Lucy. That's quite good, isn't it?
That's very good.
Sounds very emotional.
How old was she?
She doesn't say. No, 8. She says she's 8.
8. That's amazing for 8, isn't it? She's got the whole... That's all you need to know about poetry right there.
Alistair McAllister. Could that be real? Well done if it is, says authoring, eh? I made up a detective duo called Egghead and Nuts. Egghead was a giant egg in big boots, and his sidekick was a little yellow man who wore a cap and smoked a pipe. Their meeting place was the shed at the bottom of the garden, and they travelled between missions on a bogey, brackets, northern word for go-kart, made from an old door. I never wrote a word, but drew some fabulous elaborate pictures. Never wrote a word.
Egghead and nuts.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That could be big.
That could easily.
Sell that to Ragdoll Productions.
Come on.
Stuart in Cambridge. The Adventures of Knight Rider and the Ewoks.
Okay.
I was seven, and there were about six illustrated short stories. My mum still has some.
He's way ahead of the curve.
He's
there.
Mashing stuff up.
That's like AVP.
It is, isn't it? Knight Rider and the Ewoks. They've got, what would they be crammed on the back seat? Does Knight Rider even have a back seat?
What do they say, the Ewoks?
Michael, who are these strange furry passengers?
They don't say, ooh, teeny. That's the Jawas. They say just, tack, 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 tack. Something like that.
Hi, Adam and Joe. I wrote a book of poems called Say It With Snails. From Helen
is
in Wallasey. Yeah.
That's it. Say it with snails.
What would you say with snails?
You have to.
That could be the world's most unsuccessful shop.
What's she going to do? Is she like spelling words out with snails? She's just sticking them onto things.
It's a book of poems called Say It With Snails.
That's what I'm saying.
Helen, we need to know more about Say It With Snails. If you could say something with snails.
What was that laugh, Jude?
Jude's losing control.
He's only necking, miss.
Come to my party, pom-pom. I'm having a poo-poo party, pom-pom. That's what I'd say to them.
Absolutely.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're keen fans of The Apprentice, as you'll know if you're a regular listener.
Oh, I missed it this week.
If you're in the foreign areas, it's a programme where people compete to be the lackey of a sort of man what makes computers, Sir Alan Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I find amusing about it, and this is a bit late in the day to be making this comment because they choose their team names in the first episode, is their team names.
Right.
Apex. Pinnacle.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know when they make phone calls and they use their names of their stupid teams on the phone? Hey there, this is Alex from Sheen. That's what my team would be called, Sheen.
Sheen.
What would your team be called?
Mine would be called Ambitializer.
The Ambitializers.
Yeah, because they're like visualizing their ambitions.
I'd call my team the Winners with a Z.
The Winners with a Z is good.
But it's always Apex,
yeah.
Pinnacle. What are they called this year?
I'm not sure.
What are they called? Claire knows. She's coming in. They're called Zenith.
Renaissance.
No. Renaissance.
Renaissance.
And
I think the other one's Alpha.
Alpha.
Brilliant.
That's right. Not Beta.
No.
No, that would be the second best.
That would be the B team.
Yeah, and certainly not Ceta. Does that exist even? I don't know.
Theta does.
Alpha.
Ceta. Ceta.
Team Alpha? What would be better than Alpha?
Alpha Plus.
Yes.
Alpha-tron.
Alpha Plus.
Yeah. Uber Alpha.
Uber Alpha Plus.
Mega Alpha.
That would be good if the first team named themselves Alpha.
Yeah.
Second team came out with Uber Alpha Plus. The first team would be furious. And then if they were fighting over some kind of contract, Uber Alpha Plus would get it.
You know what would be better? Alpha Max.
This is Jeffrey calling from Team Alpha Max. We'd very much like to order 400 tissues. And we want to get them for a fiver.
I love their haggling, their business haggling. Well, like in the when they were in the souk the week before last,
right?
All that their tactics are: how much is this carpet, please? And you say,
I say £400.
£400. Can you make it £200?
No.
Oh, bye. that's the extent of their haggling. Well, they say, but I've only got £200. No, I'm sorry, £400. That's it.
Okay, bye.
The all-new Adam and Joe podcast has an all-new name. Podmax. The name will never be used out loud or written down.
Podmax.
But from now on, whenever you think about the Adam and Joe podcast,
Podmax.
Think... Podmax.
Yes. So we've been asking you about things you authored as a young child, books, plays, film scripts that you wrote when you were, say, like under 13. We've had a lot of responses to this, so I haven't been able to read them all. I'm sorry about that if I didn't read yours. Here's one from Leon Trigg. He says, my childhood literary speciality was simply transcribing books in full, such as Day of the Triffids. But when I got to the age 11, I decided to progress onto creating what I consider to be my own original work. I created a magazine that looked at the life and career of Arnold Schwarzenegger to date. It included photocopied pictures and transcribed interviews from bodybuilding magazines. That's always suspicious. The highlight was the letters section, which included questions I'd written to myself, such as, "Dear Leon, is it true your parents once met Arnold?" And, "I heard that muscle turns to fat when you stop exercising, Leon. Will Arnold ever get fat?" My answers were thoroughly researched and respectful. Yes, they did indeed meet Arnold at Miss Olympia in New York. And don't be a prat. Muscle and fat are two completely different parts of the body. I made a killing with the publication. All 25 copies sold for 25p each at school.
Whoa.
That's over £6 to spend in the tuck shop.
That's good, man. Very impressive.
Isn't that good? I'd like to read that magazine.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you can send us a copy of any of these things, we'd be delighted.
We'll come back to them, yeah. But here's a good one from Matt from Old Trafford. When we were teenagers, my friend Trev drew a cartoon called The Adventures of Champa Hadley. His catchphrases included, "Astronomy Udar!" And, "Mine are also Satchel Rands!"
Wow.
It also featured a badger in a gas mask. I've never forgotten it. "Astronomy Udar!" Stephen!
Stephen!
There's a whole film emerging here.
I'm coming. "Astronomy Udar!"
"Hi, Adam and Joe. I was a vile little poet as a child," says Natasha in Tooting. "I would deliberately leave my works around the house so that my mum's visitors would read them and praise them. I also clocked that I'd seem cleverer by not using rhyme." Mm-hmm. My poetry career peaked at 11 with the publication in the school magazine of my two greatest works. These were the nihilistic After the Holocaust.
Oh, brilliant.
Whose opening line was "Desolation, despair." And the inadvertently erotic "Climax of the Night," a description of fireworks night. Oh, Natasha.
That's good. I bet they were great, Natasha.
I bet they were good. Shell says, "I won't compare, this won't compare to Stephen, but my own immature contribution to the world of theatre was Grease 3.
Wow.
I wrote it with my friend Emma and we put it on at our youth club. I played the lead role of the good girl who is led astray by the cool girls and tries smoking. Oof. We even made fake cigarettes by putting talcum powder in cotton wool, wrapping it up in a tube. When you blew in one end, the talcum powder puffed out the other to look like smoke."
Very good.
"I don't remember much about it now, although I do know that some parents of the other cast members made a video, so there may be proof of it still.
Wow.
The song by the main character, brackets me, was sung to the theme music of Grange Hill. Not the old music, the new mid-90s one. That one. It was called I Wish I Was Tough. I wish I was tough to love. Wish I was tougher, then I'd be cool to love. Hang out with the cool kids. I wanna smoke fags to love, cause I look."
Was it like that?
I don't know.
Hannah?
Was it like that? Shell.
Is that Hannah?
Her name was Shell.
Shell. Sorry, I'm sorry.
She was 11 when that happened.
I'm having a little. My brain gets very addled in the last 10 minutes of the show.
Time for one more.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Okay, here's a depressing one. When I was 12, I wrote a punk song called I Don't Want to Be Taken Away, brackets by the Men in White Coats. Rather prescient, I was sectioned at 28.
Oh, man.
P.S. They don't wear white coats anymore. That's an anonymous text. It's fine to read that out. Mental illness is a thing that happens in people's lives, and people get over it as well. Jude? If this has inspired you to look through boxes and dig something out, then please scan it in or copy some stuff across. And when we come back, we're away for 2 weeks. But when we come back, we might read some of our listeners' great.
Mike Reed?
Early. When we come back, Mike Reed will be live in the studio reading some of your juvenilia, possibly.
Wow. We don't know who's going to fill in for us, do we?
We don't. It could be anybody.
It's exciting. Imagine if it was Anton Deck.
Imagine.
They wouldn't be allowed, though, would they?
No, that'd be banned.
The most evil men in the world.
They're Britain's most wanted men.
Which one do you think is more evil?
The evil looking one.
Ant.
Yes. He's the one that schemes it all. The other one's too weak to resist.
That's what's going on in his high forehead. Evil.
Pure evil.
Pure evil. Nice.
Bye-bye, Zootons. Back to the 70s there with the Zootons.
Are you sure it was the Zootons? I thought it was Hoochie Packet.
Why are they called Hoochie Packet?
They're from 1976.
Of
that
course.
Was called Honey Sexy Woman Spangles.
Yes, Ken Spangles is the lead singer, isn't he?
Hoochie Packet are a big new band, and they're set to take over the world with their songs.
His name's not really Ken Spangles. The Ken will just be a stage name.
Hoochie Packet wear their hair down to their shoulders.
Disgusting.
Except the drummer, Michael, who's bald
That's all you need to know about the
Hoochie Packet.
Hoochie Packet.
That single's released digitally on the 19th of May and physically on the 26th of May.
That'll be a good day, man. Physical yeah. release. There's nothing like a physical release, is there?
Well, it certainly gets the tension out of my areas.
I like a physical release.
It's the first single to be taken from their new album, quote, "You Can Do Anything," close quote, which is not the case, listeners. That's not true. You will
especially
be arrested for certain
had
things.
A drink and you're going up to save a balloon from some scaffolding and you're dressed as a superhero.
That's true.
In that case, you can do almost nothing.
Yeah.
So forget about it.
But you can fly.
Forget about it. Get down off the scaffolding there. I was watching Donnie Brasco the other day. That's a good film.
That's a film with Johnny Depp in it.
Mike Nichols. Johnny Depp's amazing in that film. Mike Nichols directed it, yes.
The famous Hollywood director, Michael Nichols.
He's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Mike Nichols directed the one with Tom Hanks as well. What was it called? Did you see that one? Charlie Watson's War or whatever it was
Wilson's
called.
Wilson's War.
Wilson's.
Mm. No, I didn't.
Not bad. Not bad. And I was watching Donnie Brasco, and I forgot that...
Not bad, Nipples. Not bad.
Well done. Nice job, Nipples. the genesis of that phrase in, forget about it. I know it's like a mob phrase.
Oh, in the Hugh Grant comedy.
Yeah.
In Mickey Blue Eyes.
In Mickey Blue Eyes, when they're sat in the car, and it's him, and it's Hugh Grant and James Caan.
That's a fairly low-wattage Hugh Grant film. Not many people may have seen it apart from
my mum's. One of my mum's favourites.
Really?
Yeah, loves it. Hugh Grant at his Chuckles
it's a
best.
Fish out of water comedy. He's an English toff who has to pose as a kind of New York mobster, right?
Yeah.
And there's a scene where the only scene they ever showed in clips where he's attempting to do the Sopranos thing, even though it's pre-Sopranos, he's attempting to say that line, right?
Exactly. And James Caan is saying, come on, you know, just talk like a mobster, for goodness sake. Stop being foppish in English. Say, you know, forget about it. And Hugh Grant's saying, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Mm. Or forgot about it. Forget about it. No, come on. Forget about it. Like that. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about that. Anyway, that comes from Donnie Brasco. They say forget about it right the way through that. Like
really?
To a ludicrous degree. Forget about it. You know? I'm going to say it throughout this show now because forget about it can mean a whole lot of different
things. I can't wait.
Forget about it.
I think you should say it after every item of the news.
Forget about it.
In case there's anything really heavy.
Hey, forget about it.
Yeah. It's Adam and Joe. We were born on the street. That's what this podcast is basically about. Various different kinds of street. Streets where you do your shopping. The streets inside your mind. Streets where you're looking for a penny. But in the end, it's a turd that you find.
And we got to say thank you to Leon Trigg, who, if you were listening earlier, emailed in about his homemade Schwarzenegger tribute magazine. He scanned the whole thing in and sent it to us. And we haven't laughed so hard in this studio for a good while. It's quite the funniest thing I've ever seen in terms of self-published mags. And we're going to try and put that up, Leon. With your permission, we're going to try and put it up on our Six Music website so other people can share the joy. Yeah, it's absolutely extraordinary.
We had some great stuff sent through, so thank you so much for all your emails and texts as usual. You know, we're spoilt by your efforts, and we really appreciate them. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, so funny, I forgot to laugh.
There we go. That was this week's edited highlights of the Adam and Joe radio show on BBC Six Music. And we'll be away for the next 2 weeks, listeners, so there'll probably be no podcast for the next 2 weeks. It's a chance to rest your brain, to, you know, forget what we're like, and maybe you'll be excited when we come back.
Absolutely. And don't forget, of course, you can listen to the whole show again with all the great music we play.
All the fluffs and fumbles,
the
bluffs
there.
And stumbles,
all the embarrassing bits as well. Because Jude sometimes, you know, to be kind to us, cuts out bits where we make extra prattish comments. So you can hear all those because there's always a few. If you go to the BBC Six Music website and select to listen again,
and don't forget to send us your works of genius from your childhood years, juvenilia, any plays or books or you know, scripts or comics that you did when you were a kid and in retrospect are a bit embarrassing and weird and misconceived. Scan them in and email them to us, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, please.
Till we're with you next in the world of sound.
I love this song.
What?
That you're singing now. The Till We See You Next song.
Till we see you next in the world of sound, make sure that your feet keep on touching the ground intermittently, because of course you have to remove them to walk, otherwise you would stay still.
Goodbye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music.